in your lifetime, you're going to spend on the average of 150,000 hours at work. Some of you more, some of you a whole lot less. That equals about 40% of your life. That's the work defines you. The work describes you, the work identifies you, and work sometimes dominates our lives. And that's why we're going to do a series the next few weeks on work and what is God's will for your work. A recent study said 2/3 of people surveyed said that if they could have a different job, they would. And the reason is they're not satisfied, or they're not fulfilled. And so we're going to look at what God's word says about work. We're going to answer questions like, what do I do when I get laid off? How do I get a promotion? What is the best job for me? How do I even know what the best job for me is? What do you do when you got a bad boss and you got conflict going on? What do you want to do, or how do you start a new business? You know, the Bible's got lots of material, to answer these questions. So this Sunday and next, we're gonna look at the fundamental question of why. You know, just why work at all? And what is the purpose of work? And we're not the first one to answer, to ask this question. Solomon asked it at the top of the outline, says, what do people really get for all their hard work? What's the benefits? What's the purpose? What is the payoff for work? You know, because if you really think, if I'm going to spend 40% of my life working, what's the reason for that? Some people I've talked to believe that work is punishment from God. Actually believe that work is punishment from God. But you know what I found out? They think it's because sin entered the world. But Genesis 2:15, this is before sin entered the world. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And keep it. So the result of sin is not work. Now, the result of sin made the work harder. It made it more difficult. It was disappointing. It was somewhat drudgery. It wasn't good. And it seemed like work was painful. But Jesus told us later that God is constantly working. And we're made in His image. He says we'll even work in heaven. There won't be any office politics in heaven. You'll have a good boss in heaven. And it'll be fun, and it'll fit. Your assignment in heaven will fit how you're wired and who you are. One guy was telling me one time, he said, the only reason I work at this place is to retire. So in my mind, I was thinking, so you spend 40% of your life doing something that you don't want to do, expending the best part of your life, your sharpest mind, the best energy that you have, doing what you don't want to do, so that you can do what you want to do with less energy and less of a mind. And I thought, that's kind of messed up. It's kind of reversed. Shouldn't you be doing what you want to do all along? Really? And so the Bible says there's 6 purposes of work. And we're going to talk about 3 of them today. I'm going to try to get through them real quick. But these are, I'm going to put them in like levels of motivation, from the least to the most important. We're going to start with the least. If you're filling in your blanks, go ahead and get your outlines out. The most basic motivation for work is this. Number 1, necessity. necessity to meet my needs. This is the most basic reason we work. The purpose is to meet our needs. We work to stay alive. We call this survival mode. We work to eat. I owe. It's off to work I go. Proverbs 12:11 says this, the one who stays on the job has food on the table. It's pretty simple. I work to stay alive, to eat, to meet my needs. The Bible says that we are to be self-sufficient. The Bible says we are to provide for our own family. It's our responsibility, not the government's, not other people. If I'm able to work, you know, sometimes you or me, we may not be able, but when I am, I'm to work. I'm responsible. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith, and he is worse than an unbeliever. Now, those are strong words. Those are not my words. They're God's words. God says that providing for your family is your responsibility to take care of your family. Now, some people, honestly, they think that I don't want to work. So I need people like you to take care of me. I need the government. The government should pay for me because I don't want to work. Some people actually think that laziness is a disability. You know what? The bottom line is, wherever you have freedom, you got freeloaders. You got freeloaders. You know, the pilgrims made a rule that, to me, we should just stick to. Whoever, they had a community meal. Whoever is unwilling to work doesn't share in the meal. Now, you say, well, you know, where'd they get that at? How'd they do that? Where'd they get an idea like that? Well, it comes from 2 Thessalonians 3:10. It says, whoever doesn't want to work shouldn't be allowed to eat. Doesn't want. That's what I want you to remember. Sometimes you can't work. And I'm not talking about the ones who can't. I'm talking about the ones who won't. Who won't work. The pilgrim said there was no free lunch for those who won't work. Then I've had some people tell me, you know, what about when I've met my physical needs? When I get enough money to meet my physical needs, now is it okay if I stop? No. It is not okay, because there's five other purposes besides the basic need, besides the survival mode. God didn't put you and he didn't put me on earth just to take up space and to breathe air and then die. If you're alive, God expects you and I to make some kind of contribution with your life. If you're alive, you know whether you're making money or not, you need to be making a contribution. You're not to do nothing just because you can afford it. It's selfish. Proverbs, 13:4 says, lazy people want much but get little. But those who work hard will prosper and be satisfied. I want you to underline prosper. Let me tell you something. God is not opposed to prosperity. God is opposed to selfishness. God is opposed to greed. He is opposed to self-centeredness. He is not opposed to prosperity. Many great saints in the Bible were rich. They were wealthy. Jesus says it's okay to make a profit. Don't you remember? He even commended to two guys out of the three, and he gave harsh lessons to the other ones that didn't make a profit, that didn't invest their talents. Jesus wants us to be successful. So I think it's part of my job as your pastor to help you succeed. That's what I want to spend the next few weeks on, is to look at God's will for your work. Second purpose for you to work is this, your identity, to express my talent. I love that she's here today to express her talent. Identity. God wants you to work so you can express of who you are and how he made you to be. He gave you this certain gift of talents and he expects you to use them. He gave you a personality. He gave you experiences in your life. He don't want you to hide them. He don't want you to sit on them. He wants you to use your creativity in your workplace. He wants you to use your workplace to make a difference. Your workplace is a place to give back, not just in church. Your workplace. As a matter of fact, the best place to express your talents is your workplace. Some of you guys are in jobs that just does not express your talents. And we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. Because the truth is, everybody is different. God wired us different ways. He wired us to do different things so everything would get done. Some of you guys are good at math. Some of you guys are good at writing. Some of you guys have good hand-eye coordination. You know, some of you guys are good at mechanical things. You can just do stuff and fix stuff. Some of you guys are like me. You're good with people and you're fairly good at talking. And I like to serve. Some of you like to serve. Some of you guys are super organized. And you get on my nerves. You think everybody's closet is color coordinated. I'm going to tell you, mine ain't. My clothes are in a chair in the back room. I iron them as I go. There you go. But what I'm saying is what you're good at. You're good at math. You kind of think that everybody else is fairly decent at math. Or at least have an understanding of it. You're good at writing, you think everybody else is good at that. You're good at organizing, you think everybody else is. I ain't. I don't have a clue why I don't wear socks. Most of them don't match. You know. But we need people doing different things so that everything gets done. I want you to look at the person next to you and say, thank you for not being like me. Say, thank you for not being like me. Now I want you to say this. We only need one of you on earth. Amen? How do you know if this job is the one for you? That's a big question. How do you know if this is the job for you? I can tell you how. Two words. You're successful and you're satisfied. You're good at it. And you feel good at it. I don't care how much money you make. If you don't feel successful and you're satisfied, you're not good at it, you don't feel good doing it, you're in the wrong job. And eventually you need to change jobs. Because your life is way too important to waste. I want you to write this down. Meaning matters more than money. Meaning matters more than money. If you're in a job and you don't find it meaningful, you're in the wrong job. You need to do whatever it takes, even if you have to lower your standard of living, because meaning matters more than money. Meaning matters more than money. Because I'm going to tell you something. When we get to heaven, first thing, God ain't going to ask you how much money you make. He's going to say, what did you do with the talents I gave you? What did you do to glorify me with the talents that I gave you? 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So use your gifts well. Use your gifts well. Be successful and satisfied. That's what's going to happen when you use your gifts well. You know, and when you do this, it's going to give you your self-respect back. It's going to give you your dignity. It feels good, and it's okay to feel good. It's okay to feel good about what you, to have pride in doing a job well done. That kind of pride is okay. It's not good when you start to compare yourself with others. That's when that kind of pride is not good. Galatians 6:4 says this. Let me give me a drink of water first. Whew. Are y'all, as we say in Rockmart, parched? That's good. Galatians 6:4. I'm a professional. Be sure to do what you should, for then you will enjoy the personal satisfaction of having done your work well, and you won't need to compare yourself with anyone else. I want to read that again because that is really good. Be sure to do what you should, for then you will enjoy the personal satisfaction of having done your work well, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. That is good stuff. You know, some people think that the goal of life is to make enough money so that you can do nothing. They think that's their goal. And that is not the goal. The goal of life is not to do nothing. Proverbs 12:21 says that a lazy life is an empty life. You know, I read an article this week. It was real interesting. And it says depression is on the rise. If you guys that teach the youth, I want to tell you about it. Depression is on the rise in the upper teenagers and the lower 20s, and do you know why? Because we have more free time than ever before. Free time is a good thing, but you weren't made to live your whole life in free time. There's a time to work and there's a time to play. There's a time to work hard. And there's a time to rest. If your life is all free time, you know what your life lacks? Meaning and purpose. If it's just all free time, you got nothing going on. It lacks meaning. It lacks purpose. And the lack of meaning and purpose leads to depression. It leads to depression. Guys, we weren't made to do nothing. We were made for our lives to count. We were made for our lives to count. You're happiest when you're using your talents. You're happiest when you're using God's gift. God gave you some gifts that's greater than yourself, and it gives life meaning. Some of you guys know I retired about a year and a half ago. My gift and talents that God gave me is people. I love talking to people, and I love serving people. And so, fortunately, I've been able to do that all my life. And I love doing that. Well, and then he gave me some experiences, you know, especially with pastoring and with my own family of losing loved ones. Well, I have the distinct honor, and I know you guys, some of you guys are just going to get the all willies, but I pick up bodies for Barton Funeral Home here in town. And I love it. I love it. And what I love about it is when I get there, the family's there. I'm disappointed if the family's not there, to be honest with you. But just this week, I went and picked up the remains of Miss Owen Oxford, and I walked in Thursday, I believe it was, and right when I opened up the door, there's her granddaughter and her mom, and they know me, and they just light up, not to think that I'm a superstar picker-upper, but they knew me. They knew me, and they knew I cared, and they just started smiling, And I got to talk to them, and I got to share with them, I got to minister to them, and it was because I was doing what God wants me to do. And I prayed with them, and I held hands with them, and they were crying, and we were laughing and crying all at the same time. And she told me, she said, "I'm so thankful that you're going to take care of my mom." And it gave them some assurance. And when I left there, I know you're going to think this strange, but I was so happy. I was so happy. You know, you don't make a kid, like, I shouldn't say you don't make a killing. I'm glad I caught that before I said it. But it's not about the money. I'm successful. I'm satisfied. I feel good about the job that I do. When I can reassure a family that their loved one's going to be taken care of, I feel pretty darn good. And I can be happy. So start doing what you're shaped to do. Whatever your personality is and your experiences, your abilities. To do what God puts you to do on this earth is to lead a successful life. It's to be about our Father's business. You know, it's to be about His business. Meaning matters more than money. So if you're at a place like me, you're retired from one job. First of all, I don't believe in retirement. I believe there's no such thing. I want you to make the rest of your life the best of your life. And I think I'm really living the best of my life right now. It's why I want to talk about this for a while. The third purpose I want to talk about is maturity. See, it goes from the least important. I can't wait till next week to get into the really good stuff. But maturity is, I work in order to develop my character. I work in order to develop my character. Guys, God is far more concerned about who you are than what you do. You know, he's much more interested in your character than your career. You know, God uses your work, believe it or not, He uses your workplace to develop your character. It's a testing ground. Any of you guys have a boss that just drives you nuts? Lee? Any of you guys in a workplace that you're just unhappy in? Some of you guys, I know, you know, I'll talk to you two right now. He can use that time you're in the workplace. He can use that time you got a boss that drives you nuts. He can use them to develop your character. Because God plants little seeds of love in our life, and He plants these little seeds of compassion and forgiveness and integrity. And guess what? Guess where they're fertilized? In the workplace. Because how much time do we spend there? 40% of our life. God's trying to make something out of you and I. You know what I'm talking about when you're in the workplace. Why is this going on? Why are these people picking on me? You know, why ain't I happy? Look at what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. You spend your life working, laboring. And what do you have to show for it? What do you have to show for? Well, the answer is character. Character. Life on this earth is preparation for the next. Your character is the only thing that you and I are taking to heaven with us. We're not taking our career with us to heaven. Only the character. That's why God is developing your character. Will you be faithful? Will you do the right thing when you don't feel like doing the right thing? He's watching us so that He can determine what kind of assignment that you and I will have in eternity. Jesus said this in Luke, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you your own? You guys remember Joseph with the coat of many colors? And he was the youngest kid of all these brothers, and they were real jealous of him. And they done this plot, and they sold him into slavery. And then this queen wanted to have an affair with him, and he said no, and he chose integrity, and he went to prison and all this, and what a terrible life. But God was using all those circumstances to develop his character. And then Joseph rose to prominence and became a leader. And when a famine came, he was able to take care of everybody. Let's look at, I don't have it in your outline, but I'm going to read it because I really like reading it out of the New Bible my wife got me. It says, Psalm 105, verse 16 says, when God summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, He had sent a man ahead of him. He'd been developing his character. Joseph. He sent a man, Joseph, ahead of him, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron until what he had said came to pass, and the word of the Lord tested him. See, you may be being tested in your workplace. Anybody feel like they've been tested in their workplace? A couple. God is prepared. He's more concerned about your character. I guess what I'm saying is while you're working on the job, God's working on you. He's working on you. The most important thing that you bring home from the job is not your paycheck. The most important thing that you can bring home from the job is who you're becoming. Who are you becoming? Maybe you guys are deciding on a career. You're kind of like me, looking at somewhat of a career change. But the most important question, you know, these high school seniors, I get to think about it all the time. The most important question that you should consider is this: not what will I make, but what will I become? Not what will I make, but what will I become? You know, the decision that you make from that question has eternal implications. It really does. Not what I make, but what will I become? You know, the goal of this work, the purpose of our work, is to hear the words that Jesus said. And I'm going to read them to you, and we'll end them with that. I want to hear Jesus say this to me, and I want, as your pastor, I want him to hear him say it to you. I hope somehow I can. I don't know how that works. But he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." I was thinking about this, and I thought, I bet he's not going to put me in charge of the closets in heaven. Or you guys are going to dress funny. Would you pray with me? My Lord, I hope to hear those words one day. Well done. Well done, Jim. You've been a good and faithful servant. Lord, I don't know how it works, the whole heaven thing when you enter. But I hope I get to see Lee as he enters. Tom and my wife, and even Courtney. And I hope to hear you tell them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been entrusted with a little. Now you have a lot. Lord, help me to teach. I love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen."